out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 8th of August 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. And we are live today at Radio Arian because we have with us Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, how are you doing today?
You know, your listeners may be surprised to learn how often I do these shows after having just rolled out of bed. Because, you know, I work all night. When I get into something, I can't stop. So I usually fall asleep, you know, six in the morning. So quite often I do these things having just woken up. So if I'm a little goofy, please indulge me.
Yeah, you do seem to keep some strange hours, but thankfully you do the notes for this show before you get your sleep, don't you? I mean, I've received these notes. Well, a long time back today, at least 6 hours ago. So you must have done them beforehand. So it's not like you're suddenly waking up and you've done no preparation. We got plenty of preparation for today's show. And we're going to be talking about the stock market, which I guess maybe, is it an exaggeration to say the stock market crashed yesterday? Or should we just say that it fell, Matt? Can we say that it crashed?
Well, RT is using the word crashed. Some American papers are using the word crashed. Was a gigantic loss, which, of course, you know, put a big smile on my face. I guess the most common phrase is a huge sell-off. Everyone's selling. So which suggests almost a panic. So maybe panic is better.
The stock market panic. And of course, it's all being blamed on the Chinese. The first report we've got here is from RT. It says U.S. stocks saw another huge sell-off on Wednesday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average losing more than 560 points, or 2.2%, just days after the worst day of the year on Wall Street. The S&P 500 Index, representing America's 500 biggest corporations, also fell 1.9%, which brought both the Dow and S&P 500 down more than 5% for the month. The Nasdaq Composite traded 1.7% lower. The tech-heavy index is down a hefty 5.8% for August. There are two factors that are causing this reversal in the market. Rates are falling and gold is moving higher. Investors are very much concerned about the trade war and its expansion, and that is certainly being manifested in the price to gold, Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at Spartan Capital Securities in New York, said, adding that nonetheless, investors need to be prudent and cautious. And just before I ask you how gold plays into this, Matt, I mean, these figures here, they're saying, well, it's just down by 1.9% or 2.2%. I mean, that sounds like a very small percentage, but would I be right in thinking that's, you know, that's basically the profit that's made on these things is a tiny percentage like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, they represent billions and billions of dollars.
Right.
It doesn't move that way. And certainly when everything is and you know, this has just begun. So this is just, you know, these are serious numbers. But to ask, you know, someone who's a chief market economist at Spartan Capital Securities for his opinion is like going to the SPLC for their opinion about you. They're not exactly, you know, these people are deep into the system. They're profiting from the system. And, you know, these falling rates would be the last thing that would harm the stock market. If rates were to go up, they'd go to the bond market. That would hurt the stocks. But falling, this is ridiculous. And of course, the trade, yeah, they're you know, he's leaving out the more important things, because going to a guy like that for analysis is laughable. He's, you know, these are the men who are controlling this process. You can't go to them for objective information about anything.
So how does the goal play into it? Because that's obviously very important to this, and we're also going to be talking about that later on today. So how does goal play into this? Because this seems to be linked to it.
Well, despite the American attempts to control, or the Fed's attempts to control the gold price, there's a very complicated way that they try to do that. Generally speaking, it's still a pretty objective variable in the market. When gold goes up, it generally says that there's a lack of confidence in the system. And whenever gold goes up, it means that people want to go to something solid because everything else is unstable. So gold is a barometer. Because it's a barometer and people pay a lot of attention to the price, the Federal Reserve tries to manipulate the price, which is really hard to do, but they figured out a few ways to do it. Gold moving higher, meaning that people want it, and people want this stability to cover over losses in other areas. It really is a terrible sign for the system, and it really means that confidence is disappearing.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, really, because gold is going to hold its value, isn't it? You know, if you're investing in companies or whatever, and people can't afford to buy the products anymore, the company can just fall apart, and you can end up with a load of debt if you've got gold. That's always going to be one of the most expensive things that we have. So that makes a lot of sense. The next article that we've got, or the next quote that we've got here, is about the oligarchy, and the oligarchy becomes tighter. This is from CNBC. In the last 20 years, the U.S. stock market has undergone an alarming change. Between 1996 and 2016, the number of listed companies fell by half to 3,600. Down from 7,300, according to a Credit Suisse research study. Additionally, the number of listed companies and initial public offerings in the US, the UK, and the Eurozone has been on a steady decline since the heady days of the dot-com boom. To that point, activity peaked in the US in 1996 with nearly 700 IPOs. By 2017, that number was barely 100. According to CFA Institute research, with the number of IPOs declining, small investors are getting shut out of the most lucrative deals. What is one of these IPOs then, Matt? What is this initial public offering? Why is there so few of them now?
Well, when a private company wants to go public, that is to say it wants to sell stock in the market and get funding from numerous sources, where it has to sacrifice total ownership in the process, that's what it sets off, number of stocks at a certain price, and then goes to the market and offers it. That's your IPO. It's going from private status to public status. That's how it offers itself to the market when it first makes that transition. Having these declining so extremely. Now, by the way, this oligarchy title, that's mine. The CNBC is never going to say that. That's my title. And it means that, simply the number of corporations in America has fallen. That, you know, your biggest companies have a tendency to be publicly traded, because that way they could take advantage of all different kinds of funding, different investors, and you know, they don't have to worry nearly as much, because these are gone down by half. You know, it simply means that entrepreneurship is disappearing, that everything is becoming more and more centralized. There is, a bigger company can handle unstable times much better than a smaller company can. So when times get unstable, they want to consolidate. It's a horrible sign. It means that private property is disappearing. It means that there is no stability in the system. It means that money is going into fewer and fewer hands, and the control over people's daily lives, which really is in the private sector, not the public sector, is going into a handful of anonymous investors. And so this is a horrible sign.
When it says these companies, they've reduced, they've fallen down from half, from 7,300 to 3,600. Is that the total number of companies that are on the stock exchange? Is that the total number of companies in all? Because I sort of imagine that there are a lot more companies than that just in America. Is this just the ones that are listed on the stock market, the ones that exchange shares? Is that what this is talking about?
Yeah, that's what listed companies means. These are the people who you could, any kind of investor can go in and buy stocks in. Going down by half in this short period of time, that is proof, objective, quantitative proof of oligarchy. That's exactly what that means.
Right. Well, Washington are blaming China for the stock market crash, when what we've just seen is that it's been on its way anyway, because nobody's really creating anything new. Half the companies have gone, but Washington is blaming China for the stock market crash. Washington has escalated the trade war with Beijing by accusing China of being a currency manipulator after a Wall Street stock wipeout due to reports of Chinese retaliation to US tariffs. In recent days, China has taken concrete steps to devalue its currency whilst maintaining substantial foreign exchange reserves. Despite active use of such tools in the past, US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin announced on Monday afternoon. The context of these actions and the implausibility of China's market stability rationale confirm that the purpose of China's currency devaluation is to gain an unfair competitive advantage in international trade. So break that down for us, Matt. What are they saying? What is Steve Mnuchin saying there? And is what's the truth behind it? Is what he is saying true, or is it false?
Well, blaming China for this is laughable. His comments at the end of that section you read, I read it five times, and I can't make sense out of it. The fact that China's market is stable, well, that can't possibly be true because we're unstable, is ridiculous. No, China is better run than the U.S. market is. Any devaluation of currency means that they're responding to tariffs. Devaluing the currency means Chinese imports are cheaper. So it's to some extent it's a way to get make the tariffs less painful. And they're angry, as if they're not allowed to do that. I don't know what unfair advantage is. I mean, countries devalue their currency all the time. But what he's saying is that, you're trying to get around tariffs and we're upset by that. You're not allowed to do that without our permission. It's an incredibly stupid statement. Devaluing the currency to make your exports cheaper is a common tactic. Countries have been doing it since there have been exports. And the only reason he could be upset is probably because of the stock market, because he doesn't really know what else to do. The lack of faith, the massive debt, has a lot more to do with the stock market crash than China. And all China's trying to do is, and remember, so many of these things affect American investors in China. Because about half of the imports coming from China are from American companies. So by devaluing the currency, it makes Chinese-made products cheaper. And that gets them upset because it means that the tariffs don't mean as much. It really is. It's just a stupid statement.
Well, surely it's their right to do that. I mean, the yuan, it's not tied up with anything else. It's China's own currency. And if you end up with inflation or deflation or monetary problems, that's the right that the bank has. That's what it does. If you look at Greece, look at the state that Greece is in. And the reason why Greece is in that state is because it signed up to the euro. And once they got themselves into debt, they were unable to devalue their currency because they didn't have their own currency anymore. And there were riots and there were people calling to leave the EU so that they could have their own currency back, so that they could then devalue it and get themselves out of debt. It's a perfectly legitimate way to manage your economy is to devalue the currency. I mean, how can they say that this makes China a currency manipulator? I guess what they mean is the side effect of China doing this is it's affecting the American economy and it's manipulating the American economy as well. And that's what America doesn't like. Is that really what's being said here, Matt?
Yeah. In so many words. Yeah. Yeah. It's, Mnuchin has said stupid things before. But this is almost like an unguarded statement. What also bothers me is his claim that there's no way that China's market is stable. But it may well be because they've made all these adjustments. They moved to China, India, et cetera. No, it's quite plausible. He just can't believe that the U.S. can't affect foreign markets the way that they think they should. Then there's so much idiocy packed into these few words. It really is. It bothers me.
There's a lot of overreach there, isn't there, in trying to tell China how it can manage its economy and how it shouldn't be doing things that affect the American economy when it's America that's putting these tariffs on them. Well, we've got an explanation from Paul Craig Roberts here for what's going on. This is actually from yesterday. During the many years of quantitative easing, the exchange value of the dollar was protected by the Japanese, British and EU central banks also printing money to ensure that their currencies did not rise in value relative to the dollar. The Federal Reserve needs to protect the dollar's exchange value so that it continues in its role as the world's reserve currency in which international transactions are conducted. If the dollar loses this role, the US will lose the ability to pay its bills by printing dollars. A dollar declining in value relative to other countries would cause flight from the dollar to the rising currencies. Catastrophe quickly occurs from increasing the supply of a currency that central banks are unwilling to hold. One problem remained. The dollar was depreciating relative to gold. Rigging the currency market was necessary, but not sufficient to stabilize the dollar's value. The gold market also had to be rigged. To stop the dollar's depreciation, naked short selling has been used to artificially increase the supply of paper gold in order to suppress the price. Unlike equities, gold shorts don't have to be covered. This turns the price-setting gold futures market into a paper market where contracts are settled primarily in cash and not by taking delivery of gold. Therefore, participants can increase the supply of the paper gold traded in the futures market by printing new contracts. When large numbers of contracts are suddenly dumped into the market, the sudden increase in paper gold supply drives down the price. And this has worked until now. Well, I understand this first bit, Matt, that America needed Britain, Japan and the EU to also be printing money to keep the dollar at the value that they needed it to be kept at. But I don't quite understand this bit about having to also keep gold at the same. Well, I can understand they needed to also keep gold at a certain value, but how they did it doesn't quite seem to make sense to me. Can you explain what some of these terms mean and just what's going on here?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this because it's a very important way that the Federal Reserve controls the world economy, or at least the perception of the world economy. He does a pretty good job of explaining it as it is. When you invest in gold, you don't actually have the gold in your basement. You know, you invest in a piece of paper that says you own a certain amount of gold. It's like fractional reserve banking. I mean, you could lend out money that you really don't have. Because, you know, people aren't going to all at the same time come and want their money out of their accounts. So you can get away with this. This is a very sneaky way to control gold prices. When you invest in gold, it's not like, you know, they deliver it to your door. That means they could artificially increase the supply of gold just by saying that it exists. Because no one really, now the Chinese do demand delivery, which is why they're really angry at them. Because they're ruining the system by saying that. So they could make believe the supply of gold is far greater than it is by simply selling more paper. Now, short selling, but see, these are things that our people really need to know. To sell something short is to sell a certain security, anything of value, with the idea that you're soon going to repurchase it at a much lower value, that the market is going to fall. It's the way you could make a certain amount of money from it. But you don't really own it. You've borrowed it. So you're really gambling here. Now, the naked idea, naked short selling, means that you haven't even borrowed it. You're just gambling that no one's going to ask for it. So it really is a scam. There's only so much gold in the world. You can't increase the supply. Increase the supply, of course, would collapse the price. So how can you increase the supply without actually doing so? And that is to just sell ownership in gold that doesn't actually exist, with the understanding that no one's actually going to ask for it. And that's what naked short selling is. So they could make believe that the supply of gold is greater than it really is, because most people aren't going to demand the gold be brought to their front door. The Chinese have completely ruined it by demanding that. Russians are doing the same thing, have actual physical gold in there in Moscow in great amounts. The U.S. now is compensating for that by pretending that more gold exists than really does, by simply selling, you know, you're investing in gold. So they send you a certificate. Not gold, but they say you have it, hoping you're not going to ask for it. And of course, no one really does, so they get away with it. So this way, they could artificially increase the supply of gold, and it lowers the price. That means the dollar looks much better by comparison, because everybody is watching the price of gold. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's pretty funny, actually, as well, that China and Russia are messing it up by actually asking for the gold rather than just the cash value of the gold. So they're basically artificially inflating the gold supply and saying there's more of it when there isn't, and basically paying out money for it instead, which, of course, they can just print. And that all comes down around their ears when people say, right, well, actually, no, we'd rather have the gold. So continuing with what he has to say here, if flight from the dollar is beginning, it will make it difficult for the Federal Reserve to accommodate the growing US budget deficit and continue its policy of lowering interest rates. With central banks moving their reserves from dollars, US Treasury bonds and bills, to gold, the demand for US government debt is not keeping up with supply. The supply will be increasing due to the $1.5 trillion US budget deficit. The Federal Reserve will have to take up the gap between the amount of new debt that has to be issued and the amount that can be sold by purchasing the difference. In other words, the Fed will print more money with which to purchase the unsold portion of the new debt. Well, that seems like it's, you know, chasing its tail. The Fed is just chasing its tail here. Am I right in thinking here that so basically that they need to have more debt in order to increase the money supply and everything that's in circulation, but they haven't got enough people to actually take out that new debt? Is that what's being said here?
Yeah, and the tariffs that Trump has put on China have ruined the system. We talked about a few weeks ago how the Chinese are now tripling their trade with Russia as a result of this, and removing the dollar as the currency that they use to, because even just trade between Russia and China over, you know, any object, they were using dollars. But those days are over. Now, if the American economy is growing, then they could print dollars all they want. They could sell as many bonds as they want, and it'll vaguely be stable. But that's no longer the case. The demand for dollars has fallen. And the debt, of course, is so ridiculously – and notice that $1.5 trillion, that's a deficit, not the debt. The debt is coming close to $20 trillion. That's just the budget deficit this year. Now, if the economy is growing, you know, they could sell bonds to cover that. That's no problem. But that's no longer the case because they can't control the price of gold anymore. And interest rates are falling. And if there's any proof – that there is no recovery from 2008, that there can't be, is that rates haven't moved. I mean, they're coming close to zero in certain cases. That means no one's really borrowing, or that those who are borrowing are only the big companies we've talked about already, who you're pretty sure you're going to get repaid, and starving everybody else for funds. All of these variables are connected, and it means the U.S. is losing control of everything. And yes, a crash has got to be coming, and this may just be the beginning of it. There is no faith in the system. There is no faith in the system right now. Even your multi-trillionaires out there have no faith in the dollar.
Well, it seems like Roberts was forecasting this back in July in an interview that he gave to Sputnik News. He said the U.S. – is this last July or just last month, is it, Matt? Just last month, I think.
It's just last month, yeah.
Just last month. The US dollar's reserve currency role is in jeopardy because the sanctions Washington imposes are driving other governments away from the use of the dollar and the Western financial system. As the dollar's role as reserve currency shrinks, so does the demand for dollars. As the demand for dollars falls, so will its exchange value. The Federal Reserve can print dollars with which to purchase financial assets, such as stocks and bonds, thus supporting their prices. But the Federal Reserve cannot print foreign currencies with which to purchase dollars. Am I right in thinking the Federal Reserve or does actually print some foreign currencies, or does it just print the American dollar? Does it print Iraqi dollars, for instance?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. It wouldn't surprise me that certain people who sit on the board actually are part of the, you know, of course, the Fed set up the bank over there. Any conquered territory, the U.S. is going to set up the bank. But as far as the U.S. is concerned, no, it can only, you know, legally print the one type of currency. And it's what I just said. As much as I like Trump's tariffs policy, I understand what he's trying to do. He's thinking 30 years ago. Now all that China did is move to other markets, other countries to make up for that loss of revenue. Well, they have no reason to use the dollar. They have no faith in it anyway. So these tariffs have really ricocheted, and there's not much they can do. When the debt is this high, when there's no faith in the system, and when they can no longer control the price of gold, because everybody in this market watches gold. Gold is your ultimate barometer. And remember, too, quantitative easing, you know, is not just the concept of bailing out the banks from 2008. The Federal Reserve pumps cash into the stock market. It's been artificially kept alive for at least a decade or more. Laundered drug money in the billions of dollars keeps the stock market alive. This is old news. The SEC even talked about it. That's the only reason the stock market didn't crash in 2008, is because of billions of dollars in drug money being laundered in various stocks. The entire system is fake. The entire system is criminal. But they can't keep doing this if gold goes through the roof and the economy doesn't grow, even when they lower interest rates. So pretty soon, you know, inflation is already underrated as it is. We're looking at real disaster here.
Well, in order to maintain the illusion of stable currency values despite the printing of money, the Federal Reserve had to stop the dollar price of gold from rising. The way this has been done in recent years is for banks acting as agents for the Federal Reserve to do short sales of gold by dumping large numbers of uncovered or naked gold futures contracts into the gold futures market, COMEX. A sudden appearance over the space of a minute or two, usually in quiet trading hours, of large numbers of new contracts knocks down the gold price. So you can actually see that this is what they're doing then. Do they admit to doing this, or is it just that people have seen it and said, well, this is what's going on, because suddenly you've got this massive flurry of trading in quiet hours? Have they admitted to doing this, Matt, or is it just, you know, people have worked this out?
No, you know, mainstream investment newspapers and journals, they deny this happens. They say, oh, there's no proof of it. Conspiracy theorists, you know, they never mention Paul Craig Roberts because of his authority in these things. No, they deny it openly.
Well, he also described the process like this back in 2014. The Fed's gold manipulation operation involves exerting forceful downward pressure on the price of gold by selling a massive amount of COMEX gold futures, which are dropped like bombs either on the COMEX floor during New York trading hours or via the Globex system. A recent example of this occurred on Monday, January the 6th, 2014. After rallying over $15 in the Asian and European markets, the price of gold suddenly plunged $35 at 10:14 a.m. In a space of less than 60 seconds, more than 12,000 contracts traded, equal to more than 10% of the day's entire volume during the 23-hour trading period in which gold futures trade. 12,000 contracts represent 1.2 million ounces of gold, an amount that exceeds by a factor of 3 the total amount of gold in COMEX vaults that could be delivered to the buyers of these contracts. This sounds like fractional reserve banking, but that is able to happen because the promissory notes don't actually represent anything if it is called in. More notes can just be printed. Surely gold must be different because the gold itself can be demanded, Matt. I mean, that was my bit there. You know, the way that I'm seeing this, I mean, with the fractional reserve banking, the way they can get away with it is because it doesn't actually represent anything. They can lend out 10 times as much as what they've actually got in gold because they're just handing out promissory notes when they get asked to pay the debt in. But this is the reason why gold has always been seen as different, and this is why everything is pegged to gold, because it's got that value there. So how do they ever get away with turning gold into the same sort of thing as these promissory notes and fiat currency? How do they ever get away with doing that, Matt?
It's a gamble. It's a huge gamble that people, you know, most investors aren't going to demand deliver it. And they're, so far, they get away with it. You know, doing these things in quiet. There's certain times of the week, times of the day where gold trading is quiet. This is when they dump all of this fake paper on the market. And everyone say, oh, my God, gold must be going down. Look, everyone's trying to sell. It's a psychological technique. And we're kind of, you know, Paul Craig Roberts is ruining it because the trade papers won't talk about this. So it's a huge gamble that and that's why we mentioned, you know, that certain countries like Russia and China are demanding physical ownership. Most investors won't. That's just one part of their portfolio. What are they going to do with gold in their house? You know, people are starting to figure this out. But gold isn't different, but it is a gigantic gamble, and they're not doing it anymore. The pressure on gold is such that even this technique, and the title of Roberts's article was, "Is the U.S. losing control of the gold price?" And the answer is yes. Even this technique, as fraudulent as it is not working, and that means if this becomes exposed, the price could go even higher, and that's a disaster for the dollar.
Would this be tied in with Germany? They asked to get their gold back from Fort Knox a while back, didn't they? They asked to get their gold back and they were told they couldn't have it. Is that tied in with this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they can't have it, you know, because they have lots of paper. The gold may not exist. And it's very embarrassing. And no question, no doubt the Germans know this. And so it's something they could hold over the Americans' head. Yeah, so much for private property.
Yeah, it's... It's worrying, isn't it? You know, you got this collapse coming. What are they going to move to next? I mean, they've manipulated the currency. They've manipulated the gold. They've got an absolute cheek saying, accusing China of manipulating the currency when here they are manipulating the gold price. I mean, just where are they expecting to go? Once this happens, they really don't have anywhere to go, but, I'm sure they've got the brightest minds thinking on it at this time. And maybe they'll surprise us, Matt. Maybe they'll surprise us and they'll come out with some idea that we haven't thought of ourselves. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.